Open, are we on? There we go. All right, please open with me to chapter 1 of Proverbs. Before we get started, let's ask the Lord for some help. God, thank you for this evening, and thank you for the Spirit that unites us as believers. God, we pray for wisdom tonight as your word is open. Pray that you would guide my thoughts and my heart, and God, that you would be working in our hearts and do the work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens." And there is a great need for that kind of wisdom and that kind of understanding in our society today, isn't there? All you have to do is step back and look at the world or look at social media, look at the news, and the lack of wisdom, biblical wisdom, we see is epidemic. And there are all sorts of solutions out there. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got advice. And some of it's, you know, decent. You know, we say on the farm, don't sell your mule to buy a plow. Well, that's pretty good advice because you need a mule to pull the plow, right? You've probably heard, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Good piece of advice. How about don't put the cart in front of the horse? Don't name a pig you're going to eat. And on the sayings go. But wisdom, true wisdom, is found only in God. Job 12:13 says, "With God are wisdom and might. He is counsel and understanding." And we need wisdom. And by God's grace, we have the Scriptures. And they're able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3. And there's a part of the Bible we call the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. These books, Job, part of the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And for our purposes tonight of studying the value of wisdom, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And we're going to spend most of our time in chapter 2. But I'm going to duck into chapter 1 just for a moment here. We're going to look at verses 2 through 7. And in these opening verses of Proverbs, we see not only the purpose of Proverbs, but the intended audience. And verse 7 of Proverbs 1 will serve as a summary or a theme or a motto for the entire book of Proverbs. So please follow along as I read chapter 1, 2 through 7. The purpose of Proverbs here: to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the book of Proverbs is written to the simple, verse 4, to the youth, verse 4, to the wise, verse 5, and to those who understand, verse 5. It is written to all of us, no matter what stage of life, what stage of the Christian walk we're in. And verse 7 warns that fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the goal of the book of Proverbs is to instill wisdom in God's people, a wisdom that is founded in the fear of the Lord. By way of reminder, the fear of the Lord is a holy respect for God. It's a respect for his greatness and his majesty. It is a reverence for his word and for his name and an adoration of God. True wisdom is founded in the fear of the Lord. And this is a wisdom that works itself out in the very practical, everyday situations that we encounter in everyday relationships. So before we go further, let me quick define wisdom, and so we can consider what God has to say about it. That way we're all starting on the same page. Wisdom comes from the Hebrew word chokmah. It kind of sounds like you got something in your throat, like chokmah. Okay? And it's used in many, many times throughout the Scriptures and has different nuances depending on how it's used. But for our purposes tonight, we're going to say wisdom is skillfulness in the art of godly living. It is the ability to take truth, to take knowledge, and apply it to ourselves, to our lives, in God-honoring ways. So why is wisdom important? Well, you can know truth. You can have knowledge and not be wise, right? Satan knows the word of God and is not wise. You can know a lot of stuff, but without wisdom, you can do a lot of damage. And that's why we need to develop this skill. We need to develop wisdom in our lives. If I have love but don't have wisdom, I can really hurt someone I really care about, even though my intentions may be good. If we know the truth of the gospel, but without wisdom, the way we share and teach that truth may make that beautiful truth ugly to people. Wisdom is important, and developing our ability to apply knowledge and wisdom is really important. And we can learn wisdom really in two ways. One is by our own experience, by trial and error. It won't take many times holding a nail like this when I start pounding it to realize that's not a good way to hold a nail, right? My knuckles are going to be black and blue, and I'm going to be bleeding. And one of the ways we gain wisdom is by making mistakes. I mean, how many of you have made mistakes? How many have done stupid things? You know, I could tell by looking at you. So, but no, seriously, we've all made mistakes, right? We've all done stupid things in our lives. And by the way, kids, hear me for a minute. That's the point of discipline, to gain wisdom. That when you choose to disobey your parents or disobey authority, and you get to meet Rodney, Rodney's the 3-foot piece of door trim we have in our house that sits atop the refrigerator. You know, when you meet the rod of discipline, the point is to understand, wow, that hurt. That decision I just made really hurt. I had better not make that decision again. And you gain wisdom. We learn by experience. We learn by trial and error. And a second and a much, much easier way to gain wisdom, and a much faster way and a much less painful way, is to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to listen to godly people. And by the providence and the mercy of God, we've been given the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon and a couple of other really wise men. Solomon, as you may recall, is the wisest man that ever lived, next to Christ, of course. And we see in Proverbs Solomon calling out to us, like a father would call out to his children. Chapter 1, verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Chapter 133, "Listen to me." Chapter 2, "My son, receive my words. Treasure up my commandments. Make your ear attentive. Incline your heart. Call out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear a father's instruction." Chapter 4, verse 5, "Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away." Chapter 4:10, "Hear, my son, and accept my words." 4:20, "My son, be attentive to my words." 5:1, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom." 7:1, "My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments, keep my teaching." 8:6, "Hear, for I will speak noble things." 8:10, "Take instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold." 8:32, "Listen to me, hear instruction and be wise." I kind of get the feeling that Solomon wants our attention here, that God wants our attention. And there are so many voices in this world calling out to us for our attention, isn't there? And just may the Lord give us ears to hear his voice through his word and the grace to listen. So let's move into chapter 2 of Proverbs. And this is where we'll anchor the boat and we'll see what the Lord has for us to catch. And we'll look at all of chapter 2 tonight, and hopefully you'll see in this book that God's wisdom will sanctify us, that God's wisdom will secure us, that God's wisdom will satisfy us, and that God's wisdom will save us. So let's start by reading, and we're going to start reading just 1 through 11, chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Hopefully you noticed the if-then statements in this text. We see in verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments. Verse 3, if you call for insight and raise your voice. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness, justice, and equity in every good path. My kids could finish this statement. If you jump in the lake, you're gonna get wet. Okay. That's silly, but I use that phrase often as we talk about choices, about cause and effect. And when I warn them about doing something that they're thinking of doing that's really foolish, I'll say to them, don't you go jumping in the lake and then come back to me and complain because you're all wet. Cause and effect, if-then statements. It describes a process, a change. If I jump in the lake, I will move from being dry to being wet, right? Process of change there, cause and effect. And we can see that process of change in the if-then statements that we just read here in Proverbs 2. Are they dependent? And they are dependent on our actions. Obedience is a choice. No, we are not saved by our works. We know that. No, we can't earn God's favor. We know that. No, he doesn't love us more when we obey a little bit better. We know that. But the principle of sowing and reaping is there, right? I can lay on the couch all day long with ice cream and a soda and a donut, and I can pray till I'm blue in the face, till I'm purple, actually, that God would make me fit and healthy. And he probably is not going to answer that prayer. I mean, I suppose he could. He can do anything. He's God. But I don't believe he's going to work in that setting. Now, if I get up early in the morning and I cry out to God and say, God, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. Please strengthen me. And I manage to make it to the door and put my shoes on and say, oh, Lord, this is the last thing I want to do. And I go out and I start running and I start praying for people. I start praying for myself. I start fellowshipping with God. And I'm jogging down the road. I'm disciplining myself and I'm eating healthy and putting forth the effort. I think God is a little more apt to give victory in me being healthy and fit when I'm doing those things. But who does the work there? Is it God or is it me? Well, the answer obviously is yes, right? It is God, and it is me. Or perhaps a better way to say that is, God is not going to be accomplishing these things if I'm not willing to work alongside him. If I'm being intentional and working hard, God will do the work. And in the same manner, while I lay on the couch and eat ice cream all day with my donut and my soda, if I choose to watch reality TV and soap operas rather than being in the Word of God, and I cry out for wisdom, God's probably not going to, I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty futile prayer, right? Probably not going to happen. But if I turn that TV off and I spend time in the Word and I notice, and notice here the progression, and starting in verse 1 in these verbs. If I'm receiving the word, if I'm treasuring the commandments, if I'm making my ear attentive and inclining my heart to wisdom, and if I'm seeking it like silver and searching for it as hidden treasure, if I'm engaged in working, God will be working. And you notice these are all action words, all words that take effort. That's because we're lazy. At least I'm lazy. And hard work is not automatic for us. Wisdom is not automatic for us. Seems like anything in life worth doing is hard. But chapter 1, verse 32 reminds us the complacency of fools destroys them. The complacency, the unintentionality, if I can make up that word. You know, we'll never move toward maturity by just drifting. We cannot be complacent in the Christian life. Kevin DeYoung says, sanctification is gospel-driven, spirit-powered, faith-fueled effort. And it is. God does the work, and he gets the glory, but we must work alongside him. And so by his Spirit, verse 1, as we receive the Word of God, that is, the Word of God, the standard of wisdom and understanding. And verse 1, as we treasure up his commands, as we lay hold of them highly and esteem them. Verse 2, and as we make our ears attentive, not just hearing, but listening. And guys, we would do well to develop this skill with our wives also. Not just hearing, but listening. And verse 2, as we incline our hearts to understanding, which is laying hold of the opportunities we have to be in the Word of God, to read the Bible, to listen to preaching, to go to life group, to be in biblical fellowship. We need to take advantage of these opportunities. And verse 3, as we call out for insight, as we pray for wisdom like a man who's dying for hunger would pray for bread. If we pray for wisdom and raise our voice for understanding, verse 3. And verse 4, as we seek it like silver, like those who would go in great toil and danger down into an underground mine and search for silver. If we search it for it as hidden treasure, verse 5, then we will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then we will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. We must press into God and in his word to do these things. Verse 6, for the Lord, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And the Bible is the mouth of God today. We don't earn wisdom. God gives it to us by his grace. But if we do this, if we do press into God and press into the Word, then by his grace, he'll grow us in wisdom. And that wisdom will sanctify us. And God will do the work as we work alongside him. God is not saying here, if you seek me and if you seek my Word, I'll love you more. Not at all. God is saying, if you seek me, you'll find me. And you'll find the wisdom of God. And this wisdom will lead you down a path, the path of which is the conformity to Christ. Wisdom sanctifies us. Wisdom also will secure us. I know we're only on the second point, but these last three are real quick. Wisdom will also secure us. Look at verse 7. He stores up wisdom for the upright, that is, those who walk blamelessly or justly, or those who walk in wisdom. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. What does a shield do? Well, it protects us, right? It protects us from sin. Shield will protect us from danger, from Satan. Protect us from our own foolishness. He is a shield. Verse 8, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Wisdom will keep us on the right path. If we are tempted to turn aside off this path, he will guard us and watch over us and direct our steps. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Wisdom will keep us on the straight path, preserving us safe and blameless until we enter heaven. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. God's wisdom will lead us to walk on his path, the one that he owns and the one he takes care of. Where else can we be more secure than when we're walking in God's will? Wisdom and the fear of the Lord are not only the doorway to heaven, but they're the pathway also. Wisdom will sanctify us. And wisdom will secure us. And wisdom will also satisfy us. Verse 10, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. What is laid up for us, or what is laid up in the promises of wisdom? What is laid up in the promises of God in heaven for the righteous will make us truly, thoroughly, and eternally happy. Verse 11, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. When godly wisdom has dominion over us, it not only fills our heads, but it enters our hearts as well, and it has a commanding influence over us and over our thoughts and our actions and our choices. And it leads us to walk closer to God, and He is the source of all satisfaction. Psalm 16:11, in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Wisdom will sanctify us, and wisdom will secure us, and it'll also satisfy us. Lastly, wisdom will save us. We see in verses 12 through 15 that we will be delivered. Wisdom will deliver us from godless men. Starting in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will deliver us from godless men. Well, wisdom will also deliver us from godless women. Starting in verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Wisdom will deliver us from godless women. And as we see in 20 through 22, wisdom will save us. So you will walk in the way of good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. That phrase there in verse 21, inhabit the land, and in 22, cut off from the land, well, that's Old Testament lingo for abiding in Christ. The text is saying that God's wisdom will lead us to walk in the way of good. God's wisdom will lead us to keep on the path of the righteous, that we will abide in Christ and we will remain abiding in Christ. But contrasting that in 22, fools or the wicked, fools which are people who despise wisdom and instruction, we remember from Proverbs 1:7, fools are not saved. It is these who are not in Christ, but rooted out and thrown into hell. Wisdom will save us. Proverbs chapter 8, you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to read a few verses starting in 22, and this here is speaking of wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before He had made the earth with its field out of the first of the dust of the world, when He established the heavens I was there, when He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the fountains of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. God won't make me fit and healthy if I sit out on the couch all day and eat donuts and ice cream, regardless of how much I ask Him to do that. But if I get up and put some effort forth into taking care of my body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit, God will work in that. It's not rocket surgery, right? That's a combination of rocket science and brain surgery. It's not rocket surgery, right? If we, God's people, through gospel-driven, spirit-powered, faith-fueled effort, get up off the couch and receive God's word, and we make our ear attentive to what He has to say, and if we incline our hearts to understanding, and if we call out and ask for insight, if we raise our voice for understanding, if we seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then God will give us wisdom and understanding. God will give us the ability to take truth, to take knowledge, and apply it to life in God-honoring ways, to all aspects of our lives. Wisdom is valuable. It is so valuable because it will sanctify us. It will transform us into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. And wisdom will also secure us. It will protect us as a shield. It protects us from all sorts of self-inflicted pain and consequences of our choices. And wisdom will satisfy us. It will draw us closer to God, and that's the only place where true joy is found. And wisdom will also save us because it will cause us to abide in Christ, both in this life and in the next. And here's an exhortation from the king, Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. That's wisdom. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Let's pray.